There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The must-haves. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zappia, and with me today, Pat Fitzmaurice, Fitzy, my dude, the Fantasy Shillelagh, and of course, Big Pod Energy himself, Andrew Erickson. And we know we're in one of the last weekends of big-time football drafts, so today we're going to talk about our must-haves. That's right. We're going to do countdown style 10-1, and the boys have brought their must-have players for the 2022 season. And most of these names you've probably heard us talk about, but this is the nitty-gritty. This is the time where we really show up and show out. I know that my good friend Andrew Erickson is all hyped up on pumpkin spice lattes already because it is the 2nd of September. How does that feel, by the way? You got your flannel on. I know you had to take it off before the show. You got your pumpkin spice. You ready to go with the must-haves, baby? Because I know the pumpkin spice was a must-have for you this morning.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been in fall mode arguably since the beginning of summer. So I actually didn't even realize I never put my air conditioning in my office the entire summer. And this wasn't a goal of mine. I didn't go out and seek to sweat my, you know, sweat a lot during my work hours, but it just kind of ended up doing that. I didn't feel like putting it in, and it never became so unbearable that I had to put the AC in. And now it's September and it's like, hey, I made it the entire summer without putting it in. So feel good about it.
I've heard of the hot yoga, but not the hot fantasy analyst working inside and trying to dig through stats. So you create a whole new category, which is super cool. Fitzy, a fall must-have for you. What's the number one fall must-have?
Oh, a fall must-have. Let's see.
Come on. Is it a pie? Is it a pumpkin thing? Like, what's a fall must-have?
I am a pumpkin beer guy, Joe, for sure. I saw that, like those are on the shelves now. They don't wait. They roll those out in the summer. So you can get those. I need to go out and stock up on pumpkin beer.
There you go. Must-haves from the boys. And obviously these are the must-have players. Before we get to all of them, I want to remind everybody, as you are going through your drafts, don't go alone. Have the draft assistant with Sync right there. It's like having us in the draft with you. The amazing Fantasy Pros software at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. It's there for you, regardless of what you're drafting on, whether it be ESPN, that platform, ESPN, Sleeper, CBS, NFL, it doesn't matter. The draft assistant with Sync will link up to it. It'll give you suggestions of picks. It'll give you insights to what's going on in the draft around you, because there's a lot that's happening at one time, and sometimes you need a little help, and the draft assistant is just what you need. I mean, I wish I had an assistant. I keep asking for one, and they keep telling me, no, I can't have one. But remember, only MVP and Hall of Fame subscribers can get access to the draft assistant with Sync, which of course brings me to the way to get it all done this year. There's still plenty of time to go to fantasypros.com/offers, make a deposit in one of our partner sites, get 6 free months of our incredible tools at Fantasy Pros, help you with your draft. That'll give you the draft assistant with Sync, the cheat sheets, all the cool draft features, and of course, and all the in-season tools and access to our Discord as well, which we all know is super popular. So go get that at fantasypros.com/offers and check out the draft assistant with Sync over fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Okay, gentlemen, I know this is a fun day here where we got a lot to talk about with the must-have. So let's just get into it. Let's start with the number 10 player here at the top. Let's go with you first here, Pat Fitzmaurice. Who is your number 10 must-have player of 2022?
So it's Treylon Burks, and the vibes on Burks have generally not been good since really the new calendar year. He didn't measure as big or run as fast as we thought he was going to at the combine. He had asthma and other conditioning issues in minicamp and training camp, and didn't do much early in the preseason, didn't get a lot of snaps with the number one offense, although he did have a really nice preseason week three. And I just wonder if we're doing with Treylon Burks what we did with Ja'Marr Chase last year, taking a very good wide receiver prospect and knocking him down based on the perception of a ruinous preseason and training camp. And I mean, you could have Burks as an avatar for this whole rookie class, I think, because rookie receivers are generally terrific values in drafts. And here's some rookie ADPs from the last 2 years. Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver 31. Jalen Waddle, wide receiver 42. Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver 64. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver 49. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 39. T. Higgins and Chase Claypool were both like beyond wide receiver 65. Like, Burks' ADP is anywhere from wide receiver 43 to about 53. It's a great setup for him. He's going to get a lot of targets in this offense. They got rid of A.J. Brown. You know, they have Robert Woods, but he's coming off this major injury. And the Titans' defense is not what it used to be. I don't think they're going to be as heavy on run-friendly game scripts as they have been in the past. So I really think Burks is a nice target who you can get in double-digit rounds.
Just yesterday, Andrew Erickson, you selected Treylon Burks, if memory serves, in our 10-team PPR mock because you said he just fell too far. A little bit of shades of last year's Ja'Marr Chase, where a guy sort of starts to fall out of favor and you take advantage of the dip. He's not Ja'Marr Chase, let's be frank here, but is that an opportunity as well in your eyes, Andrew, on Treylon Burks falling in ADP right now?
Yeah, I think it's a perfect opportunity to buy a player that when he first got drafted to the Titans, we argued that he should be the number one rookie wide receiver ranked because of the opportunity he should see in the Titans offense from the get-go. Now, is it going to be like that in week one? He's going to hit the ground running? That remains to be seen, but when it's all said and done, you know, when we're talking about week 10, week 11, who's the Titans' number one wide receiver? It's probably going to be Treylon Burks. So you might as well get him now, put him on your bench. Like, you don't have to start him. I think that's the best part about it. When you are stacking your bench, you don't need depth guys. Like, depth is so overrated in fantasy football. You want difference makers. So Treylon Burks, if he hits, will be a difference maker for you. And if he doesn't, then you just drop him and you move on to another rookie receiver or someone else that's breaking out because then you don't necessarily need to have Burks.
All right, Andrew Erickson, who is your number 10 must-have player for 2022?
Yeah, so another guy that I think has a lot of boom or bust to his profile is Kadarius Toney. So number 10 for me, New York Giants wide receiver, second-year receiver. He flashed big time in a small sample size last year, 2.14 yards per route run, which ranked 11th, 25% target rate per route run, which ranked 7th in the NFL last year. So look, he was not a prospect that I was crazy about coming out of Florida, but you can't ignore what he did at the NFL level. And you can't ignore who is his competition for targets in the Giants offense. Kenny Galladay? Dude is cooked, man. He is so done. Like, we talk about Allen Robinson maybe being cooked. No, like, Kenny Galladay, stick a fork in him. He's ready to eat. Like it's over for Kenny Galladay. I don't even know if he's going to be on a team next year. And the fact that Colin Johnson got hurt, like, I think is saving Kenny Galladay's job. It's a bad scene for him. And then you have two rookies coming in, Daniel Bellinger, you know, and then you have Wanda Robinson. Mm-hmm. Like, this is who Kadarius Toney is competing with for targets. So it's a clear path where he can be the number one wide receiver. He already showed that he can make plays with the ball in his hands. And all reports are, I know he's missed a lot of time during the preseason with an injury, but they're saying that he's going to be good to go for week one. So outside the top 40 wide receivers for a guy that was ranked fourth among rookie wide receivers in yards per route running its man coverage last year, I mean, I think that it's top 15 upside for Toney, and you just don't have to pay anything for it.
Yeah, I mean, wide receiver 47 right now in half PPR, ADP over on Fantasy Pros. The injuries are what's suppressing the value, which is probably, you know, smart. But at the same time, you're looking at risk and reward. The reward is huge there on Toney. All right, let's go back to you, Pat Fitzmaurice. Who is the number 9 player on your list that you got to have?
It's Antonio Gibson, and you know I've been beating this drum, Joe, with this big, fast running back who was a former college receiver who scored double-digit touchdowns in his first two seasons and finished like in running back one range. And yet people are totally off him, and I get it. Part of that, a big part of that, was that the Washington drafted Brian Robinson, and he looked good in training camp. Now, obviously, the unfortunate situation with Robinson creates opportunity where maybe Gibson would have run into a brick wall. You know, the news that he was performing on special teams in training camp, obviously not good for him. But now with this Robinson thing and, you know, our in-house injury doc, Dr. Deepak Chona, believes it's probably going to be November when Robinson comes back. And, you know, maybe he beats that timetable, but you have to imagine there's going to be some sort of ramp up. So with just J.D. McKissic, a pass-catching specialist, not an early down guy at all, and Jonathan Williams as the only other backs on the roster, like, Gibson's going to get a lot of touches early on. And I think he still is going to get double-digit touches even after Robinson returns. So I think there's profit potential here just because the vibes have been so negative on Gibson that he has been going at bargain rates for the last month. And even with the Robinson situation, like in the last couple of weeks, I've still been seeing Gibson slip to points in drafts where he probably should not.
I love that you've come out of the gate with two players that are probably fallen the most in ADP since we started all of these podcasts back in July for all of the draft coverage. And I think it's great to stand up and notice that, everybody, because look, you're getting a discount on these players. They're still talent. They're still upside. And now you don't have to pay the same price you did maybe a month ago. So that's an important point that Pat is pointing out there. Andrew Erickson, let's go to you for your number nine player on your must-have list.
Yeah, my player's in it. Going in a totally different direction than Pat's players have. So Damian Pierce, running back for the Houston Texans. He has basically been skyrocketing up draft boards ever since the team released Marlon Mack. But all along, I thought that Marlon Mack was never a bet to make the roster. I mean, they paid him pennies on the dollar to get him in there, and he has done nothing over the past two seasons to think that he would have been a integral part of the Texans' rushing attack. So it's Damian Pierce, it's Rex Burkhead, and Royce Freeman got re-signed to the practice squad. So I think it's Pierce's backfield, especially specifically on early downs, which is what he, I think, can be really effective at. Now, how great of a role is that on the Houston Texans, which is not a great offense? Well, remember week one of last year? Mark Ingram, he got like 25 carries in like the first game of the season. It didn't matter what the game script was. And I think that the Texans are showing us by the moves that they've made. You know, he sat out the second preseason game. He started in week three. I think that they're going to feed this guy. And where you can get him, I think, is very important to be price sensitive. I'm not taking Damian Pierce in the third round. I'm not taking him in the fourth round. Fair. Like that's way too high for me. It's a must have for a guy that I think you can get in round five or round six, like kind of in that turn area. Now, I've even seen drafts where Pierce goes ahead of Breece Hall. Like I'm not doing that. Like Breece Hall is beyond Damian Pierce as a prospect, in the situation. I'm not drafting Damian Pierce over Breece Hall. So I just want to be clear with talking about Damian Pierce. But in a lot of ADPs, Pierce is still significantly behind Breece Hall, which is why I want to target him and be aggressive on Damian Pierce, because his ADP sometimes is still not caught up in some of these home league drafts, whether it be on your ESPN or Yahoo. And I think that we could even see Pierce take on a bigger role. Houston has an early bye week in week six. We usually see rookies see a jump in terms of usage after their bye week. So if we get kind of mixed receiving usage from him to start the year, I would imagine that it probably increases, and he might be even a buy low candidate if he doesn't live up to the lofty expectations that some people are putting on him.
You made a great point, Andrew, about, you know, looking at the host site rankings, and that's why our tools are so special too. Because if you have the draft assistant, and let's say you're using, you know, the cheat sheets of Andrew Erickson, you could say, oh my goodness, look at this. Look how much higher Andrew has Damian Pierce than where he's ranked currently on NFL or ESPN. And then that sticks in your brain and helps you in the draft find value later on. So that's a huge piece of the puzzle. Let's go back to you, Pat. Number eight on the board for your must-haves.
Let's stick with running backs. And I like Ramondre Stevenson a lot. And the only unfortunate thing is his price is rising, so he is not showing up on as many as my rosters in recent
drafts. I blame
drafts.
Andrew Erickson for that single-handed.
Yeah, like, don't care.
You've really ruined it. You've ruined it for everyone. It's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, I'm definitely not the only one at Fantasy Pros honking this horn. So we've heard from beat writers that maybe this is the year that Ramondre pushes past Damian Harris, that we could see that happen. And I think he's already going to be ahead of Harris in terms of pass catching, because Harris doesn't really do that. James White retired. Ty Montgomery's hurt. I really doubt that Bill Belichick is going to trust a rookie, Pierre Strong, as his passing down back. So that's probably going to be Ramondre. And if Ramondre is getting all the passing down work plus some early down work, maybe the majority of early down work in what should be a ball control running back centric offense, he's going to be pretty valuable. And I really like him as a target in drafts where I'm maybe going hero running back with one running back in the first two rounds, then pound wide receiver, maybe get a luxury tight end in rounds, you know, 2 through 5. And then Stevenson's maybe sitting there in 6, or if you're lucky, round 7.
Yeah, Pierce and Stevenson, both guys to really target if you are on that early wide receiver build.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Thrive Fantasy. Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this fantasy football season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports and esports app for player props. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. To play, you will first build your lineup of player props, and each prop is assigned a fantasy value for the over and under based on how likely they are to hit. Hit the most props and rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. And Thrive has over 500,000 in guaranteed prizes for week one. And their featured contest is $250,000 guaranteed, $25 to enter, and first place takes home $50,000. That's right, 50 grand for the winner. Thrive also offers the best user versus house odds compared to the competition. So use promo code FPROS. Again, that's promo code FPROS when you sign up today, and you will receive a 100% instant first deposit match up to $250. Download Thrive on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com and sign up today with the promo code FPROS. Again, sign up at thrivefantasy.com and prop up today. And now back to the action. All right, Erickson, let's go to you for your number 8 player on the board.
I'm going to go with Cam Akers for the Los Angeles Rams. His ADP continues to decline because Sean McVay just talks about different other running backs on his team when he doesn't start anybody that plays any type of snaps. And I just, someone's got to come to defend Cam Akers. Like, enough of the ridicule about the yards per carry because he was coming off a torn Achilles injury, which nobody does. Nobody comes back the same year they come off an Achilles injury, but people are like, oh, nah. Less than 2.4 yards per carry, that's horrible, when all the Rams running backs were inefficient over that time. He was playing a juggernaut of run defenses. 95% of his yards came after contact. What does that tell you? That the line wasn't blocking for him because it was good run defenses. I don't understand like why we're so fixated on him. Oh, he's coming off the Achilles. It's like, wait, no, he already came off the Achilles injury. He's already played. People are going to draft J.K. Dobbins when he has not come back on a football field over Cam Akers. And Cam Akers, all that we've seen with Sean McVay is I care more about what they do on the field. And Sean McVay can say whatever he wants about Daryl Henderson this and Kyren Williams that. When they were in the playoffs, 6 playoff games, Cam Akers, 21 touches per game. Like, what are you going to fixate on of, okay, Sean McVay keeps saying this about his certain running backs, like coach speak. Oh, yeah, remember John Lynch said out how great Trey Sermon was during training camp? Oh, yeah, that really meant a lot. So I look more at what they do on the field. And every time Cam Akers has been on the field, he's been a bell cow. He's been a workhorse for the Los Angeles Rams. And that's what I think is going to be here and happening. And I just think he's falling in ADP because of coach speak. And I think that's an advantage to buy a guy that plays on a high-powered offense that has a path to double-digit touchdowns, because the Rams were the highest team in terms of touchdown rate through the air last year, which is a number that tends to regress. And if Matthew Stafford's elbow is an issue, they're not going to throw the ball nearly as much. And what does that mean? Oh, they're going to feature Cam Akers more. So I love Cam Akers. I love that he's now falling into like round 5, round 6. Like, give me the Rams running back 1. Come on.
Fitz, you started out very pro Cam Akers. And just the other day, you were telling me on this very show that you've come off that a little bit. That was quite a salvo from Andrew Erickson regarding Cam Akers. Did that fire you up? Are you back on the wagon after that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever fell off that wagon entirely, Joe. Like, I just had Akers ranked closer to, like, high-end running back 2 territory, and I've dropped him just because the ADP has dropped. But he's still a target for me, absolutely, and I totally agree with Erickson's reasoning on that. Like, he's had more recovery time now from this injury. We should be excited about this. And the fact that the Rams were willing to just hand him the keys to their backfield for their elimination games last year, the most important games of the year. He's been out all year, and like for the playoffs. Here, Cam, it's your backfield, man. Like, that's really encouraging.
Okay, let's continue on with the list. So we've already got Cam Akers at number 8 for Erickson. So let's skip to number 7 on Fitz's must-haves for this season.
It's a guy who's a fade for just about everyone else, it seems like. DK Metcalf, who I have seen go consistently in wide receiver 27 to wide receiver 30 range. And he was going wide receiver 6 a year ago. And if Russell Wilson were still around, obviously he would still be, Metcalf would be getting drafted in wide receiver 1 territory. I understand that Geno Smith, with Drew Lock backing him up, is an alarming QB situation. And I get the concern, and generally, yes, I want my pass catchers tied to good quarterbacks, not bad quarterbacks. But Geno started week 6 to 8 last year after Russell Wilson had his finger injury. Metcalf was the wide receiver 8 over that 3-game stretch. Geno also played part of Seattle's week 5 game after Russ got hurt. DK had a touchdown catch from Geno in that game. So over a 4-week run, Metcalf had 4 touchdowns coming from Geno Smith. There's just no way I can fade a guy who is such a freaky physical specimen and put him in mid-range, mid-wide receiver 3 range. Like, I'm taking that. I've got him wide receiver 20, so I'm pretty much getting him in all my drafts these days. Like, I'm happy to get him as my wide receiver 3 if I can do that. I'm just betting on the physical talent here and you know, realizing that as bad as Geno Smith might be, he can still throw a spiral. Like, DK Metcalf is going to make some big plays this year. And if you're going to give him to me that late, yes, please.
What's so interesting, Pat, is he finishes wide receiver 10 and half PPR last year, 17 games. He had 75 receptions for 967 yards and 12 touchdowns. The composite projections on Fantasy Pros for 2022, more than 1,000 yards, 1047, 7 touchdowns, 78 receptions. So 5 less TDs, which you can understand, less efficient offense, less scoring opportunities, but kind of close in a lot of ways in terms of projections. Would you buy those projections on DK Metcalf? Do you think they're kind of just a little bit touchdown regression, but maybe even some room for some yardage upside?
Yep, in the ballpark for sure. I agree we're not going to get most likely a double-digit touchdown season out of DK, but wouldn't surprise me at all if he was pushing it 8 or 9. Not unrealistic at all.
All right, Andrew Erickson, number 7 on your list of must-haves for 2022.
Going with Jalen Hurts, quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Weeks 1 through 11 last year, he was the fantasy quarterback 1. Overall, 5th in expected fantasy points per game and 1st in quarterback rushing yards per game. Look, we're talking about a lot of these quarterbacks, these elite guys that have lost weapons. You know, Matt Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill. Rodgers lost Devontae Adams. You know who got another receiver that was already a top 5 quarterback? Jalen Hurts.
Who, Andrew?
He got A.J. freaking Brown, one of the most efficient wide receivers in the NFL. He made Ryan Tannehill's passer rating the best, like, of all time, better than Patrick Mahomes. He had me convinced Ryan Tannehill was, like, this godly quarterback. And then I just realized, oh, it's all A.J. Brown and the play action. Like, that's the reason why Ryan Tannehill's passer rating is so good. Like, Jalen Hurts was already top 5 quarterback in fantasy without A.J. Brown. And now you're adding him to the mix. You have the second easiest schedule. You have the best offensive line, in my opinion, in the NFL. Like, where are Jalen Hurts' flaws just besides his game? Oh, Jalen Hurts. Oh, maybe he's not that good. You know, we said those things about Josh Allen entering year 3, too. Like, oh, like, he's not there yet. He's not that good. So what did they do? They added in an alpha wide receiver. And then what happened? QB1 overall. So Jalen Hurts, I have him as my quarterback 2 in my rankings, only behind Josh Allen. And if he runs hot in terms of touchdowns, wouldn't surprise me if he finishes QB1.
We have a new giveaway this month. It is a Jalen Hurts autographed jersey, thanks to our good friends at pristineauction.com. Now, this is a little different. To enter to win this one, you leave a review for the podcast or subscribe to our social media channels. So the more actions you complete, the more entries you get. So if you follow us at Fantasy Pros on Twitter, that's an entry. On Instagram, that's an entry. What about on the TikTok? The kids love the TikTok. You can follow us there too. That's an entry. And of course, the mother of all entries, leave a nice 5-star review of the podcast wherever you get your pods. Apple Podcasts is always preferred, but we'll take any review we can get here. We appreciate the time and energy. So the more actions you complete, the more entries you have to win that Jalen Hurts autographed jersey, thanks to our good friends at pristineauction.com. All right, let's continue on this list here, and let's go to number 6. Fitz, that means you're up. Who is your number 6 must-have this year?
Travis Etienne. We want to target running backs who catch passes, and I think Etienne can be an elite pass catcher. He had 85 receptions and over 1,000 receiving yards in his last two seasons combined at Clemson, where he was playing with, by the way, Trevor Lawrence, his current quarterback. So they are acclimated to each other. Etienne is also a big-time explosive playmaker, maybe really the only explosive playmaker the Jaguars have. Apologies to Christian Kirk. 78 touchdowns in 55 career college games. That's pretty extraordinary. And Etienne has this clear runway. Like, my eyes were really open to the possibilities for him early in the season, when in preseason week one, I think he played either all or all but one of the, what, like 21 snaps that Trevor Lawrence played in week one, and also ran routes on 10 of those snaps. Like, the pass catching upside here is just enormous. There's rushing upside too, and he has a clear runway with James Robinson coming off the Achilles late in the season. So definitely a lot of touches early. I think Etienne could get off to a fast start. He might also have a nice finish too, because he plays the Jets and the Texans in week 16 and 17. So he might be a nice guy to have on your in your lineup come playoff time, the most important games of the year.
Pat, is there a world where Travis Etienne has the second most receptions on this squad for Jacksonville?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, no question. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he led the team in receptions, to be totally honest.
Well, that's going to put a lot of cramp in our Christian Kirk style, because Andrew Erickson and I have a lot of feelings about Christian Kirk. So I was just going to give him number two, but I like where your head's at. It's very exciting. I just hope that means Kirk and Etienne are both great. We'll see. All right, let's go to your number six player. One of my favorites here, Andrew Erickson. Who is one of your must-haves at number six?
I cannot wait for the Thursday night game, because I get to watch Cam Akers and I get to watch Gabriel Davis, because it's going to melt fantasy football Twitter based on how many targets he gets in this game. He's going to get three targets and they're going to all be touchdowns. And it's just going to blow up Twitter because he didn't get the targets, but the guy is scoring freaking touchdowns. Like, that's what matters in fantasy football. Touchdowns win championships. Gabriel Davis, last two seasons, top five in end zone targets. This guy hasn't even been playing a full-time role on his freaking offense, and he's still top five in end zone targets. Like, that's the role that he's now taking over. He is the full-time number two wide receiver on the Buffalo Bills when he was a full-time starter last year, last six games, nearly 20 fantasy points per game. The dude has such high upside, and I love taking him in the middle rounds. Like, he's the perennial player that I'm looking at that's going to take a massive step forward. We see this all the time. There's a few receivers every year from the same team that both finish inside the top 12. I feel really good about Diggs finishing as a top 12 guy. And if Gabriel Davis gets there, we know it's going to be because he scored 15 touchdowns. And is that really out of his range of outcomes with Josh Allen throwing him the football? You know, there was another receiver that caught a lot of touchdowns alongside Stephon Diggs once upon a time, Adam Thielen. Yeah. So I think Davis working off of Stephon Diggs as the number one, I mean, I just think it's wheels up for Gabriel Davis. From week 10 onward, he was fourth in PFF receiving grade, 11th in yards per route run, wide receiver 25 in terms of total fantasy points and on a per game basis. His ADP is right in that range. And I just think the floor he now has is just from being a starter in this offense. And the ceiling is obviously sky high, like we saw when we last saw him play against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Is there a world where he and Diggs can both finish as a wide receiver one, Andrew?
I think so. I kind of alluded to that, where we see every year, see one or two teams support two wide receiver ones. And if you're going to push your chips in on any team to do it, the Buffalo Bills is probably a good team to make that bet on.
Yeah, them, the Chargers, there's like a couple of them that you would certainly circle on your list. And you and I have been seeing eye to eye on Gabriel Davis for some time now. So that is a huge must-have, I think, for everybody. Okay, let's go back to you here, Fitz. Let's crack the top five. Who is your top five, number five must-have of 2022?
Well, Joe, did you just bring up the Chargers?
I did.
What you did? All right, then let's let's talk about Mike Williams, I guess, because he was the wide receiver one in half point PPR scoring through 5 weeks of the 2021 season, even ahead of Cooper Kupp. And then he injured his knee and slowed down for a little bit in the next month and a half or so. But Erickson just said it, like, touchdowns win championships. Mm-hmm. And Mike Williams has caught a touchdown on 11.5% of his career catches. He has a 16.1 career yards per catch average. This guy's a big play machine. And he's going to be in that AFC West, where we're going to get a steady diet of OK Corral game scripts, shootouts, big time track meets up and down the field. So, like, I'm drafting Mike Williams ahead of Keenan Allen. Like, I don't want the 10 yards per catch, catch and fall down guy here. Like, I want the big play, touchdown scorer, 50-yard reception guy. So I'm taking Mike Williams. He's, like, just out of wide receiver 2 territory for me. I think he's wide receiver 13 in my rankings.
I can't tell you how many Mike Williams, Gabriel Davis rosters I have together. God forbid if either or both of those guys go down. I'm going to be a grumpy Gus here on the show for many, many months, but I'm thinking positively. It's a fresh start. It's a new season. I love these guys. I love the talent. I love the ADP that we're talking about for these guys too, because these are wide receiver 1 potential guys that you don't have to pay one wide receiver cost for. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. Erickson, let's crack the top 5 for you. Who is number 5 on your list of must-have players for 2022?
Go from one big Mike to the other big Mike. Michael Pittman Jr., number 5 for me. This is the year he's going to break out. He's going to break out all over the place. Entering year 3, you look at last year, he was 3rd in route participation behind only Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, he's treated as a true alpha in his role in this Colts offense. He was 8th in target share last year. It was over 30% from weeks 13 onward. And you look at how he finished last year, he was wide receiver 15 in half point scoring because the Colts ranked 29th in pass play rate and 27th in pass attempts. Like, we've seen Matt Ryan fuel fantasy wide receiver 1s before. And that's so important. When I was going back and looking at, okay, who takes that next step? Who takes that level jump? The quarterback play is super important. And do you have a quarterback that has a track record of fueling fantasy wide receiver 1s? Carson Wentz never had that. If anything, Carson Wentz had the anti-wide receiver 1 fuel. Like, we would see stats about Wentz and how none of his receivers would ever have over like 700 yards in a season. Not the case with Matt Ryan. We've seen it with Julio Jones. We've seen it with Calvin Ridley, Roddy White. Yeah, I get Matt Ryan's not necessarily as good as he once was in those days, but now he has an offensive line. So that's going to help him and fuel Michael Pittman Jr. I don't see any real target competition for him in this offense. I think that the Colts defense is actually going to take a step back. They've changed a lot of their personnel. So I think we're going to see a little bit more of a passing attack, especially with Matt Ryan under center. I think they'll feel more willing and be more open to attacking downfield, especially with Michael Pittman entering year 3. So I think that he's easily going to make the leap into the top 12. I have him ranked inside my top 12. And every time he's available in the 3rd round, I basically just click the button to move on.
Well, another must have this draft season is, of course, is Miller Lite. Let's go, baby. Everybody needs a little Miller Lite for the draft party. You got your friends over. You want to have a couple beers. Everyone can get together again and draft in person. Get some Miller Lite at the same time. Just 96 calories, and you can do that. You don't even have to leave your house, which is great. Everybody loves that. Bring me stuff. Yes, please. At MillerLite.com/buybeeronline. You can order the Miller Lite. Get ready for your fantasy draft. You can order it for Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, all day Sunday, but most importantly on draft day, because when it's draft time, it's Miller time, baby. So go to MillerLite.com/buybeeronline, because you need 3 things for your draft. You need professional tips. Check, we got that. You need friends. Hopefully you have at least, 11 you can have a nice draft with. And of course, some ice cold Miller Lite. So go get it right now at MillerLite.com/buybeeronline. Because drafts are just better. And there's a little Miller Lite. I could go for a Miller Lite right now. I know it's only 10 in the morning when we're recording this, but it's noon somewhere. That's what I've been told. Let's go. Let's go to the top 4 here. Let's go back to you, Pat Fitzmaurice. Who's the number 4 must have for you in 2022?
Rashad Bateman, who the Ravens told us how they felt about him on at the NFL draft when they traded away Marquise Hollywood Brown and declined to take a wide receiver at all in the draft in a pretty deep class of wide receivers. They're going to run a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets. Mm-hmm. The targets are going to be heavily concentrated on Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman. And yes, like the Ravens are probably going to run at a slow pace as they do. And they are probably going to be run heavy again, if they can be, because, last year they were decimated by injuries on defense. This year, they have a relatively healthy defense. So still, though, Bateman is looking at probably around a 25% target share. And I think that's going to build a floor for him and make him a guy who's going to consistently put up numbers week after week. And I just think this is a talented dude. Like, I liked him as a prospect. I don't think he has any real holes in his game. And with that sort of a target share as really the only wide receiver of note in the Baltimore offense, he's positioned to have a pretty big second-year breakout.
You know, it's funny, this past weekend I went back and I watched a lot of NFL highlights of Rashad Bateman because I had seen all the college stuff. I was like, I want to see what he's doing at the NFL level, get a better sense. I know it was limited last year of what we got to see. But the one thing that stuck out to me when I was watching Bateman is he does a lot of the little things right. You know, he's sitting down on the route in the right time. He's, you know, put the ball forward where you're supposed to. He's taking contact, but he's not, you know, putting himself in bad spots. Like all the little things that you want, I think, a wide receiver in their second year to have under their belt. I feel like he does already. So now it's just a matter of health and opportunity, Pat, for me when it comes to Bateman. Is that how you feel as well?
Yep, I agree. And he is kind of a technician, Joe. Like he's
he is, very much so.
Good after the catch, really reliable hands. Like his hands are terrific. So there's not really anything to worry about with him, like any holes in his game that might show up on tape.
The opposite of Marquise Brown's hands. That's what I would refer to them as. let's move on to number four on Andrew Erickson's list of must-haves. Who is that dude for you?
Yeah, so number four, I have Kyle Pitts, and I'm now just realizing that this is a duplicate that we have that I have with Pat Fitzmaurice. So I'm breaking the rules. Don't care, because I just want to talk about Kyle Pitts. I just think that he is a unicorn talent when it comes to the tight end position. He's essentially playing a wide receiver role, and it's one of these things where, yes, I want to target players in good offenses, but in the case of tight end, it's a little bit different in terms of, okay, like if you're just getting targets, like that is the bloodline for tight ends to produce. Look at last year. Who was Mark Andrews' quarterback? He had Josh Johnson, a bunch of backups, and he got it done because he was an alpha and he was an elite player. And I believe that Kyle Pitts kind of falls into that category. So I won't wax any more poetic about Pitts, so to save it for Pat. Kyle Pitts is number four for me.
I always say, if you have, you know, two smart people in a room that all agree on the same thing, that just speaks volumes in terms of must-have. If somebody's on that cross-section of this list, that's a good thing. And that's, you know, it's okay. Let's move on to number three then on your list here. Pat Fitzmaurice, who is number three after Bateman? I see you got a running back here, and it's a guy that you and I are quite fond of.
Yeah, Joe, it seems like you and I can never be on a show and not talk about A.J. Dillon. So we might as well do that again here. And I know he's a favorite of yours. Mm-hmm. He's kind of been like my automatic fifth round pick in drafts of late. And, you know, like people might not have noticed the subtle shift in the division of labor in the Packers backfield over the second half of last season, where in the last eight regular season games that Dillon and Jones played together, Dillon averaged 13.7 carries a game. Jones just 10.2. And Dillon was also getting a much bigger share of the red zone and goal line snaps. So, like, we know that without Devontae Adams, the Packers are going to be run heavier than they were last year. And they're going to be positioned to do that because I think they have maybe on paper the best defense in the league this year. And yes, I'm a Packers homer, but their defense does look terrific. I think most people agree with that. Estimation. So they're going to run the ball a lot. There are going to be a lot of running back fantasy points for this Packers team because Aaron Jones is going to catch a lot of balls. And Dillon, even though he didn't catch balls at Boston College, like he showed he could do that last year with a remarkably efficient, I think 32 catches on 36 targets last year. Like he can catch passes too. So I like him a lot, Joe. I think he has like a chance to. He's not going to catch so many passes that he has like crazy 1700 yard from scrimmage upside. But I mean, I think you're going to get very safely 1100, 1200 yards from scrimmage and a good number of touchdowns.
You know, the other thing, Pat, that I just think people don't talk enough about is this is Aaron Jones' sixth year in the league coming up. And I understand he's been RB1 the last 3 years in a row. And I've been a big supporter of Aaron Jones. When a lot of people were talking about, you know, Aaron Jones or this guy or that guy who should be the starter, to me, it was always clearly Aaron Jones. But now, you know, this is typically the running back expiration date, unless you are a Hall of Famer, prolific generational talent. This is usually when things start to go in the opposite direction. Do you think that's also part of this equation that isn't factored in enough?
Maybe. I mean, he is at the point where you start to worry about age-related decline with running backs. Like, we haven't really seen signs of it, though, for Jones. So I think, like, I'm still willing to pick him up, like, in the third round if he falls there. But I know in most drafts he goes in the second. Like, mm-hmm. I'd just rather get Dillon at cost than Jones. Agreed.
That's what it's all about. Are you going to get the similar statistics a couple rounds later? I think the answer might be yes. All right, let's go to you. Top three, let's go. This is important stuff here. Give me number three on Erickson's list.
Probably one of my favorite running backs to draft in the second round is DeAndre Swift. RB9 in points per game in 10 games last year before his injury. And we're just looking at someone I think that we could see take on an Austin Eckler type season. you know, the big question mark with Eckler is like, oh, is he going to get, you know, the red zone touches? Like, we know he can catch balls out of the backfield. We know he's an electric receiver. And the Lions have a stacked offensive line. You have a quarterback that is willing to check the ball down. So you're kind of checking off the box of, okay, should be efficient on the ground, offense that should be better, has weapons. Jared Goff has shown that he can move an offense. Like, he's not a horrible quarterback to have, especially for fantasy football purposes. You know, they're talking about Swift, 1,000 receiving yards, 1,000 rushing yards. Like, everything that's coming out, you know, watching Hard Knocks, they know he's special. And if he can stay healthy and get those red zone touches, like, even working in a committee with Jamal Williams, like we see with Austin Eckler, working in a committee with some of these other backs, we can still see Swift get the job done and be a top five running back in 2022. Look, last year, through the first 7 weeks, he had 22 red zone touches. He finished the year with 26 red zone touches. So from week 8 onward, I know he obviously missed some time with injury, he just wasn't getting those goal line touches, the red zone touches that he needed to really put up those big numbers. And I think that's why people aren't buying in as much and not viewing Swift as potentially like a first round pick. Because honestly, when we're talking about Swift next year, he's going to be a first round pick. Like, I really have no doubt in my mind. And what does that mean? It means he's going to ball out this year.
Yeah. Also, you know, second year of Penei Sewell too on that line. It feels like this offense, generally speaking, is going to be much better. We had Jake on a couple weeks ago, Andrew, and he was concerned about Swift that you have to pay now for that to happen, where you're talking about next year he's going to be a first round pick. Well, right now he is RB8 and half PPR and ADP. Is that too high for you, or you think that's just about right?
I mean, I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, where are, like, the glaring flaws in his game? He catches,
or
passes.
Who's the competition, right? Because you're talking about Chubb, Aaron Jones, Kamara, Saquon Barkley, any of those guys for you that you would take over DeAndre Swift right now?
Well, not to spoil my next pick, there is one running back you listed that
all right,
would
well,
take
don't
over
spoil
Swift.
It.
But
don't,
only one okay. of them, though.
All right. Stay in tune. Maybe it's one of those guys. Maybe not. I don't know.
Don't tune we'll out see. Yet.
don't say. All right. So there is one guy. So there is somebody. That's great. All right, Fitz. Here we go. Top two. Let's do it. Who's a must-have for you in fantasy football this year?
My guy at quarterback this year is Joe Burrow. And last year, he had an 8.9 yards per attempt, which is just crazy good. Something Tom Brady's never done for a season. Burrow also had a 6.5% TD rate, and I realize that he is due to encounter some regression in those areas. Yes, we're going to see that most likely. But what if the volume increases, Joe? Like, he had 520 pass attempts last year. That was one fewer than Mac Jones, who famously had 3 pass attempts in a single game last year. Ben Roethlisberger and Trevor Lawrence were both over 600 pass attempts last year. So What if Burrow gets another 80 pass attempts? That's like 5 more a game. He was already the quarterback 8 last year in fantasy. And, like, can we automatically assume that the YPA and the touchdown percentages are going to, like, take dramatic drops when he's got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd as his wide receivers? Like, if you can't get those wide receivers in drafts, like, you can tap into all those guys by drafting Joe Burrow. And, like, you know, get a little piece of Jamar Chase and T. Higgins that way. So, like, I just love him if he is going after the running quarterbacks. Like, if you can get him QB7 or QB8 behind, like, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, I just think he's the perfect solution to QB. And if you draft Jamar Chase or T. Higgins, he's an absolute must. Like, get that stack.
Once again, you and I see things exactly the same way. I feel like Joe Burrow just gets completely looked over, glossed over. I understand he doesn't have the rushing equity of some of the other guys, but he is a guy that can move out of the pocket a little bit when needed to. He certainly did in college. I certainly remember that. He's not a prolific rusher by any stretch of the means necessarily. But on top of that, you just said it yourself, Pat. More opportunity, more throwing of the football, better health, a great cast of characters, improved offensive line too, which was a big problem last year for them. My goodness. I mean, Joe Burrow's just going to be sitting there in those 10-team leagues for you. Just pluck him off. Put him on your roster. It's a great value to wait on quarterback. Number two. All right. No more spoilers. This is it. Andrew Erickson, who you got? Who's that guy that you might take potentially over DeAndre Swift?
Yeah. So for me, it's going to be Saquon Barkley, running back for the New York Giants. I just think this is the year to kind of finally buy back in. I know the last 2 years have been depleted due to injuries, but you're getting the discount now. Like, you're getting him fully discounted. I got him in the third round in a 10-team league yesterday. And I started my draft with Jonathan Taylor and I got Saquon Barkley. Like what in what world should you have those two running backs on the same team? Like, it's absolutely insane to have those two types of players. And that's just the case with Barkley because people will not want to buy back in, but he's fully healthy now. Like, that's the biggest thing. And last year, coming into the year, he wasn't healthy. And it's just a thing to remember in store that when running backs are coming off injuries into the season, like, they don't hit the ground running from week one. It's usually a struggle for them to get back up to speed. And that's what we saw from Barkley. But when he was healthy last year, he still showed flashes of a top 10 running back. Five games when he played a full snap share with Daniel Jones, he averaged 16.2 points per game, which was the RB10. And before the injury against the Cowboys, 23 fantasy points per game in his two healthy starts. So, and the reason I have him over Swift is because of the touches. Like, I get that the offensive environment is better in Detroit, but when it comes down to running backs, we know it's volume. Like, that's what really matters here. And Matt Breida is the backup on the Giants. Matt Breida was on Buffalo last year and could not sniff the field under Brian Daboll. So, like, in what world are we going to see Matt Breida, like, on the field at all for the New York Giants this season? Barkley is their best player on offense. And I don't think it's even close. Yes, I talked about Kadarius Toney, but it's like he's flashed very minimally. Like, Saquon Barkley is a all-star Pro Bowl talented player. We've seen him catch over 80 passes in a year. And he's an impending free agent. Like, this is what we see with a lot of these running backs. Looking at like Leonard Fournette, James Conner last year, both those guys were on 1 year deals. Like, Barkley has to put up big numbers this year, or is he like, we don't know what's going to happen to him in his NFL future. So, projected volume, receiving upside, and the upgraded offensive line unit, which should also be talked about. The Giants have made improvements just to become like a mediocre offensive line. Like, that's good enough. I think Barkley has RB1 overall upside this year.
He had 2,000 all purpose yards in his rookie season. Is that attainable for him this year?
I mean, I think it depends on how often Daniel Jones is going to check the ball down. Like, if Daniel Jones is running around out there, then
I don't know. I mean,
if all those receivers, we know Kenny Galladay is not going to
Kenny Galladay ain't getting open. It's not Kenny Galladay, that's for sure. He's not breaking any defenses down. He's not scaring any secondaries, I don't think.
Yeah, I think if Daniel Jones was not as mobile, I would probably think it's more attainable. But I think Jones will more likely than not probably try to run a little bit more than feature Barkley as a receiver. Not to say that because Barkley, like, looking at the receivers on that offense, like, I mean, he's probably still a top three receiver overall on that offense, if not number two.
All right. So there we have it. We are all the way up to number one. Before we get to the number ones on the list, I want to recap the other must-haves we had on Erickson's list at number 10, Kadarius Toney, Damian Pierce at number 9, at number 8, Cam Akers, number 7, Jalen Hurts, number 6, Gabriel Davis, number 5, Michael Pittman Jr., number 4, Kyle Pitts, DeAndre Swift at 3, and Saquon Barkley at 2. Pat on his list started at number 10 with Treylon Burks, Antonio Gibson at 9, Ramondre Stevenson at 8, DK Metcalf at 7, Travis Etienne at 6, Mike Williams at 5, Rashad Bateman at 4, at number 3, AJ Dillon, number 2, Joe Burrow. So Fitzy, who's the number one must-have on your list?
Well, Joe, Erickson already ruined this episode. It was going to be 20 must-have players, but he tried to steal Kyle Pitts from
now
me.
Now it's so I 19.
Guess, let me give you a quick list of players. Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, Michael Thomas, Amari Cooper, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin, dramatic pause, and Keenan Allen. Those are the last 10 receivers to have 1,000-yard rookie seasons. And other than Benjamin, that is quite a list. Kyle Pitts is a tight end who had a 1,000-yard rookie season. I'd go through the long list of rookie tight ends who have done that, except the last one and the only one to do it was Mike Ditka in 1961.
Which is even more absurd. I always felt like that stat last year, I couldn't believe. It's like, Mike Ditka? Like, in back then, that's the guy who had 1,000 yards at tight end? Unbelievable.
Yeah, so that list of 1,000-yard rookie receivers shows that the guys who do that are on a pretty favorable trajectory for their careers. You can get a guy like that and plug him into your tight end spot. We know what the tight end position often looks like from year to year. And you know, when you're struggling and putting Kyle Rudolph into that spot and hoping to get 4 points. I mean, Pitts is just, like, if we're honest with ourselves and take the median projections, we probably have to give Mark Andrews, like, slightly better fantasy numbers for this year. Mm-hmm. But Andrews is just, like, he's a very good pass-catching tight end who's projected to get a big target share. Like, his ceiling is nice, but Pitt's ceiling is like the Sistine Chapel. Like, it's a chorus of angels singing in unison. You know, like, that's why although I'm very happy to draft Mark Andrews as, like, a late second, early third, I always wonder, like, can I really draft him ahead of Kyle Pitts? Do I want to do that? And like, if you just, Pitts is going to go in the third round of a lot of drafts this weekend. But like, if I'm sitting there in that 2-3 turn and I've already got Jonathan Taylor in my pocket, adding Kyle Pitts to that, like, you're going to walk out of that draft like Vince McMahon, Joe. You're going to be swaggering out of that draft.
Well, maybe Vince McMahon circa 2000, maybe
older,
not
so much
now. Now he covers his face as he walks out of places, which, you know, times have changed.
Yeah,
but he means in a good way, folks. That's what he means.
The confidently. Yes. Yes. So, man, like the upside is just so intoxicating here. I find it hard not to get him. Like I want him in every draft. When I find out my draft position, I'm like, okay, what? I'm thinking about whether I'm positioned to get Kyle Pitts at a reasonable spot.
Andrew Erickson, you talked about Pitts as well. I know we all love him. We've all been trying to get him in a lot of drafts. I know Fitz has gotten him in a bunch. I got him yesterday. He's a target. And I think you said it best the other day where you said Pitts is the best return on investment at tight end. And he is cheaper than the other two guys ahead of him by a few rounds sometimes. And on the other side, he is so much further ahead of the guys behind him. Is that an easy assessment of Pitts in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that he just has set up so well to look. The only thing that's stopping him from being like going higher is just the offensive environment when we just don't. There's a lot of question marks about it. But as we've seen with tight ends specifically, like not referring to wide receivers, because the barometer for an elite tight end is not as difficult to break that barrier as it is elite wide receiver. Because of just the position, the way that it's set up. But Pitts can match some of these breakout wide receivers because that's essentially what he is. Like, he's a wide receiver tight end that's labeled as a tight end. It's like putting Michael Pittman in your tight end slot. Like, that's kind of like the way I like envision it. It's like, that's why Kyle Pitts, when he's in there, like, as a guy in the third round, that's someone that's why I have him ranked one spot ahead of Michael Pittman. Because it's just like, I want that tight end advantage. And he can be a cheat code. Like, yes, like, we like a lot of these receivers in the middle rounds, but that's why I take multiple of them, because I just need one of them to hit. Whereas Kyle Pitts, there is no other Kyle Pitts. Like, there is one guy that could be the tight end cheat code this year, and his name is Kyle Pitts. And you only get one shot to get him. So you can, that's why I think you can move past some of these other receivers, even though they are really good, and just wait till round four, round five, round six, and just take shots on more of these breakout receivers and just lock in Kyle Pitts. Because look, he had, like Pat said, you know, over 1,000 receiving yards his first year. You're looking at players that did that at age 21, like not just a rookie, but a very young rookie. The last two guys to do that, Jefferson and Juju Smith-Schuster, had 1,400 receiving yards the next year. Like, that's such rare territory to be in. And that was from, you know, bad quarterback play last year too. Matt Ryan wasn't great and wasn't efficient last year. And Pitts was the only guy in town last year. So, you know, if Drake London helps kind of relieve him a little bit, they're using him more against safety. Like, are there going to be, who's going to cover him? Like, is a safety or linebacker going to cover this guy? Like, no
one can. That's what makes him so special.
If he's wide open, then yeah, I think Marcus Mariota, he can hit him. He can hit a wide open guy. So yeah, that's why
we'll see.
Pitts. We'll find out.
You know what? In a 10-team league, especially too, I think it's worth going for Pitts a little extra gusto, which is what I did yesterday to show everybody, because the supply and demand of wide receiver is a little less. A little easier to get around. So if you can get that big tight end, that's a huge advantage in that 10-team league. All right, let's go to you for your number one guy, your number one must-have, Andrew Erickson, 2022. Who is it?
Yep, so it's going to be, for me, it's going to be Courtland Sutton. And I actually tweeted this out on March 31st. So I declared my love for Courtland Sutton before I declared that I would be engaged to my fiance right now. So that was after that. I made sure before I went to Aruba that I was like, I'm putting this out there. Courtland Sutton will be this year's Cooper Kupp. I want everyone to know. And then I eventually would then ask my girlfriend to marry me, and now my fiance. So very happy about that. But Courtland Sutton, the reason I think he can be this year's Cooper Kupp is I think he can lead the NFL in red zone targets like Kupp did last year. You look at Russell Wilson, you look at the Seattle wide receivers. There's been a Seattle receiver that has finished top five in red zone targets for three straight seasons. You look at Nathaniel Hackett coming over from Green Bay. Green Bay had one of the highest rates in terms of passing touchdowns over the last two seasons. So you're seeing kind of things come together where Courtland Sutton is just this big bodied red zone monster that I think could see 15, 16, 17 touchdowns. And when you look at Cooper Kupp, like that's obviously what helped him get to be the wide receiver one last year. Now, I don't think he's going to necessarily see as many targets as Cooper Kupp did last year, but the touchdowns I think is so high for Courtland Sutton, who's had nothing but garbage throwing him the football last
year. So what's
that
number, if it's so high? What's the number for you?
Touchdowns?
12?
I think he can get to 15. 15. I mean, you get an extra game. Like, look, Jerry Jeudy has not shown that he could be used as a red zone target. Tim Patrick was the biggest threat for Courtland Sutton when it comes to the red zone, and he's not even on the team, and he's out for the year. So you have a bunch of players that are question marks about their production. There's one guy on that offense that's shown he can produce at the receiver position, and his name is Courtland Sutton. And he's produced in multiple occasions. In 2019, he was a top 20 receiver. At the beginning of the season, weeks 2 through 7, he produced. He had a 27% target share, wide receiver 17. So he's already done it with horrible quarterbacks. And now he finally has a quarterback that can get him to the next level. And that was my biggest takeaway from looking back at last year was, who are these receivers getting to that next level? And it's because of the quarterback change. And just like Cooper Kupp last year, what prevented his ADP from getting out of control? People were standing for Robert Woods, just like people are standing for Jerry Jeudy this year. And that's why Courtland Sutton's not going higher than he is, because there is another embodied player that you're afraid to go all in on because Jerry Jeudy is there. And could it be Jeudy that has a big year? Yeah, it's definitely in the range of outcomes. But based on the prior production, Sutton's, you know, profile as a red zone threat and as someone that can catch touchdowns, I just think that he's the one that fits Russell Wilson's style the best. Mm-hmm. And I think that's ultimately going to make him a league winner this year.
Fitz, let's talk about the range of outcomes. You see anything differently?
I do. I see things a lot differently, Joe. And you have been bombarded by a Courtland Sutton propaganda from Erickson and Debro for months. And, you know, now that Erickson does not have his tag team partner, Debro, with him here, like, I'm going to push back a little, try to get Erickson in that figure four lock in the center of the ring with no one to tag to. Like, do we really know that he can produce with bad quarterbacks? Erickson, because last year, like, he was on fire early in the season when Jeudy was out with the high ankle sprain. But then he comes back, Jeudy, and in the 11 final regular season games for the Broncos, Sutton averaged 4 targets, 2 catches, like 23 yards, and had 0 touchdowns. 0 touchdowns in 11 games. So, like, I'm not seeing this monstrous touchdown upside. Like, I feel like if he was this potential wide receiver one difference maker, like, he would have done something during that stretch. Like, he was just invisible. And the Sutton investors last year were just, you know, they thought it looked great for a while. Like, oh, he's this alpha receiver with no Jeudy. Jeudy comes back, and all of a sudden, like, Sutton's value just disintegrated. So, like, I'm a little concerned here. I do think there's upside. Like, I've drafted Sutton in a few spots myself, thinking that I could definitely be wrong about this and don't want to be totally out in the cold, like, if I am and you guys are right. But, like, I definitely see downside here too, and I'm just not willing to take him in most drafts over some other guys I trust more. And I'll be honest, Erickson, that includes DK Metcalf. So let me propose a little wager here.
Oh my God.
I'll take DK Metcalf straight up against Courtland Sutton for fantasy points this year, and the bet I'm
in what format, half or full?
I don't care what it is.
Whoa. Yeah,
let's go half, since that's the ranking standard.
The touchdown thing, okay.
And in our first show together after the season, Erickson, the loser of this bet has to buy the winner a pizza and have it delivered so the winner can eat it on air. And I think like we should, since Joe has had a, like, we can't just make Joe sit and watch us eat pizza. So we have to get Joe in on this.
Oh, yeah, I get a Joe pizza. Pizza
to, yeah. Or at least a calzone or something like that.
Something. So, something. A Miller Lite and a calzone. There you go.
Yeah, there we go. So are you up for that, Erickson?
Oh, yeah. Definitely down for that.
All right. That is a wager.
Beer and pizza works for me. That's a range of outcomes that I can get behind. I'm in for that. I want to know who your must-have players are. So if you're watching on the YouTube channel, and I know that you are, drop them here down below in the comments, of course. Let us know if some of the guys that we mentioned here, go ahead, let us know. We want to hear from you. We love hearing from our Fantasy Pros family.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Before we head out, more stuff from our Fantasy Pros family from our Discord channel. We always like to bring in some of our questions here that we get in our AMA channels. Again, it's free to join at fantasypros.com/chat. But if you're a premium member, as I talked about before, you get opportunity to do a whole lot more and interact with us. This is from my AMA channel. This is from DMalara89. DeAndre Swift or Stephon Diggs, half PPR, 12 team, Give me the name, Diggs or Swift, half PPR. Who do you have? Fitz, we'll start with you.
If it's three wide receivers, mandatory in your starting lineup, Diggs, for sure. Okay. If it's two, I think I might lean Swift.
Okay, half PPR. Erickson, what's your answer, Swift or Diggs?
I mean, I literally have them ranked back to back, and usually I just take both of them if I'm picking on the turn, but I have Swift ranked one spot ahead in half PPR.
All right, there you have it. Those are the answers. And again, if you want more answers, go join our Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. Use fantasypros.com/offers to upgrade yourself. Go make a deposit in one of our partner sites at fantasypros.com/offers. Get 6 free months of our premium product. Join our Discord. Get all access to stages and AMAs and all the cool stuff. We're going to be doing all kinds of fun things on there this season. And of course, you get access to the draft assistant with Sync as well, which we talked about at the top of the show, which you're going to need for all your drafts. So go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard to check that out today. Again, it syncs up with all the different platforms in order to help you manage your drafts better, get all the players you need to, get all of your must-haves as well at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. That's where draft assistant lives. And of course, kick back with a little Miller Lite as well. It's Miller time, baby. It's draft time. It's time to go have a couple cocktails and relax. And you could do that with a nice cold Miller Lite in your hand, just 96 calories. That's a beautiful thing because, you know, you don't want to keep that bod going, especially the dad bod guys out there. You know who you are. Got to keep the dad bods rolling. MillerLite.com/buybeeronline. You can still have fun, drink some beers with your friends, draft some teams, and of course, still feel like you could move the next day. MillerLite.com/buybeeronline. That's the place to do it. This was a great show, everybody. These are the must-haves. And of course, we want to appreciate all of you as well. And thank you for hanging out with us. Don't forget, leave a little 5-star review for us if you're listening to the pod, because we enjoy that. And we enjoy you guys, and we love hearing from you, and we've heard from you all season. So go make yourself heard to the public and talk about how much you enjoy the show, because we know you are, and we appreciate every single one of you. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Thrive Fantasy. Head over to ThriveFantasy.com and prop up today. Use the promo code FPROS when you sign up at ThriveFantasy.com, or download the Thrive app on the App Store or Play Store and use that promo code FPROS. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Pat Fitzmaurice, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tanner girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.